again for giving us this opportunity that we might enter again into this sacred and holy place, that we might learn, and then, Lord, that we might live according to the gospel. Lord, help us to do as Paul instructed Timothy, to study. Help us, Lord, to endure. Help us to fight the good fight, not among ourselves, but, Lord, against the enemy. Help us, Lord, to bring others to Christ that they too might come to know what we have come to know. Help us to remember that we don't want to live our lives in a way that we would hinder anyone from obtaining and becoming committed to the gospel. God, we thank you again for this day, and certainly, God, for all of the potential and possibilities that are within it. And we pray as we make our way through this day that certainly, God, we will find little nuggets and inspirations along the journey and share with others that they too might come to know. Again, God, we ask that you would open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts to be the fertile ground that is necessary to bring forth fruit in its season, and help us to remember, Lord, that it's growing time. And so, God, when we have planted and watered, there will be increase. But if we plant not, then there's nothing to water, and there'll be no increase. If we are barren, it is of our own choice. For we recognize that every good and perfect gift has come down from the Father who loves us. And so, God, we are without because we choose to be without. But we have because we decided to go get it. And so, God, give us what we need, for it is certainly your will for us. You said that you had plans for us. Now, God, let those plans come to pass. In Jesus' name and to your glory, again, Lord, forgive us of our sins and have mercy. Cleanse us from unrighteousness that we would know, live, and show others the righteousness that is Christ Jesus. This is our prayer. This is, Lord, the example of our faith, for we believe. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. As I said to you last week, we're going to give you six new things to add to your list of growth potential and growth. I forgot the word I was going to use. standards and principles, growth principles. So the first one is, and I think I started with these. I told you I was going to, you know, hold them up for you. So get your writing instruments or your typing instruments where you want to have. The first one is to surrender our whole mind to the Lord at the beginning of each day. Surrender your whole mind to the Lord at the beginning of each day. We'll talk about them. I'll give you all six of them, and then we'll go back and walk through them. If I walk through them, I'll never get all six of them done. So we'll do it this way. Surrender the whole mind. Whole mind. Again, you've heard people say, if I had half a mind, well, you're missing half. If you only got half a mind, you're missing half. And you can't live without half a mind. You don't get much done with half a mind. Second thing, and again, you if you want to write them like a stenographer, that's up to you, but this is what I'll give you. Allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind through the Word with daily meditation on the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind through the Word with daily reading and meditation on the Word of God. That means you need to pick up your Bible, your app or whatever you're using, but you need to do that every day. We give out little booklets around here called the Daily Bread. And you want to know what's interesting? People don't come pick them up. We put them out there, and we put them in other places, and they just expire. They're 3 months long. They're little small devotionals, but it's a good little springboard to get you into reading your Bible every day and give you something to think about. Give you something to think about. But you got to do that every day. Sadly, some people only pick their Bible up on Sunday when the pastor gets ready to preach, and then don't pick it up then. You know, we got Bibles we put in the pews. We upgraded all of them and went to New Living Translation Bibles, and I can see pretty good from up yonder. Rarely do I see anybody ever reach in there and grab one of those Bibles. And these are not people that have smart tablets and phones. These are people who are empty-handed. You know, I can see a tablet, I can see a smartphone, but they don't even reach and grab a Bible. And we bought them and put them in there, and we bought the kind that the pastor preaches out of, so there'll be no, well, what are you saying? Ain't the same thing that's in my Bible. Well, you ought to have a Bible. And we've said, if you want to take it with you, we don't care. We can buy some more of those, but they don't move. They're still here. Most of them look brand new. They look unscathed. I can't. Maybe that's why they don't use them. They can't get them out. I mean, this is a brand new Bible. It's nothing. I mean, it's brand new. Pages are still nice and white. But, I mean, this is what you need every day. How many of you are on prescription medication? What is the instruction on your prescription medication? Yep, but it's daily. I think there are very few prescriptions that they tell you to take every other day or take once a week. You can't do this once a week. And the Holy Spirit can't communicate with you in a language that you don't understand. We speak Bible. I'm not saying you got to walk around in the, you know, biblical thesaurus. You know, you don't have to quote everything, but you ought to be able to make a reference point from the Word of God. Thank you. You ought to be able to speak as an oracle of God and be true to it, you know. But you got to do that every day. You know, most of us eat every day. We drink water and fluids and we do things every day. Some of us have routines, and we haven't deviated from those routines because they work. How many coffee drinkers in here? Got to have it. The got to have it kind. Yeah. You didn't come in the world like that. You picked that habit up, and you stuck with it. You said, ooh, I like coffee. It just does something for me. Okay, well, that's what people who smoke cigarettes, same thing. People who smoke cigarettes didn't come here. They used to have a commercial, the American Cancer Society, or Lung Association, used to have a commercial with a baby smoking in the mother's womb. You know, people thought, oh, my God. In fact, they made so much noise, they made them actually take it off because, you know, people said, that's just horrible. That's just, I said, well, that's what's happening. If you're smoking and you're pregnant, your baby's smoking. That's just not true. Y'all not do that. And so they took it off there. But those are things we picked up. Why? Because they became habits. And reading the Word of God, allowing, and I use that word intentionally, you have to allow the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is not the Gestapo. It's not the KGB. The Holy Spirit, God never has forced the people. He's made them pay for what they didn't do, but he's never forced them to do it. You know, they didn't have to march around Jericho. They could have said, no, we ain't going to do it. Moses didn't have to turn aside to see. Moses didn't have to do the assignment. Elijah could have flaked out after he went on the run. He could have just kept running. David could have went on back home and said, no, man, I ain't messing with that guy. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I just came to bring y'all lunch. You know, how many of y'all ever went to do a simple thing and got caught up in a big thing? Yeah. David's just supposed to be bringing lunch. Next thing you know, he's in combat and warfare with a bunch of guys that don't want to fight. But you got to allow the Holy Spirit to renew. And see, here's what we must understand. The Bible says daily he loadeth us with benefits. Every day God's trying to bless you, you ought to bless him back. You know, we can't want God to do things consistently in our lives and without fail, and then we constantly fail God. Let me tell you something. Nobody's perfect. Nobody. I think there are a lot of people trying, and that's a good thing. And based on y'all response, ain't none of y'all in here one of them people. I mean, there are people who are trying. There are people who are trying to do things a little better. You know, that's great. But you have to give yourself a fighting chance. Nobody's going to do it for you. There are people who walk with you. There are people who say, well, you know, if you go, you know, like exercise program, you know, people start exercise programs, you know, join the gym or whatever, and say, look, let's walk together. You know, we can motivate. And you do better that way. You really do. You and your partner meet at a designated time, and then you finish, you go get your fruit smoothie and then a cheeseburger. You know, and that takes care of that. But you do better together. And that's why the Bible says, you know, two can't walk together unless they agree. We were designed to do couple ministry, co-laborer ministry. Jesus sent them out in pairs. You know, he said, you know, don't go by yourself. Get somebody to go with you. We're told that we're co-laborers with Christ. So, you know, none of this thing is ever meant for you just to stroll out there on your own. So you have to understand that if you get people who do what you do, like what you do, you're going to do it better. You'll do it longer. And you'll benefit greatly from it. So allowing the Holy Spirit to renew your mind is something you have to do, but you got to do it every day. Every day. Anything you do more consistently, the benefits become far greater. See, if you just wait to Sunday to become a wonderful Christian, then that's only 52 opportunities. If you do it every day, that's 365 opportunities. How wonderful. Think about that. You know, it, as with anything, if you do it with more consistency, more regularity, if you do it with more, you're going to benefit. You know, we tell people, we didn't come up with it. Somebody came up with it. Military, we said, no pain, no gain. Don't cheat your body. You know, all that crazy stuff to motivate soldiers. But we knew that it would benefit them. And, you know, we've taken big fat guys and turned them into real small guys. You know, we've had soldiers we trained, had to get 9 different uniform adjustments over an 8-week period. Because they have no choice. We woke them up every morning at 4 o'clock, and we never let them go until they went to sleep. And sometimes, when we have nothing else to do, we just go in the middle of the night and throw a garbage can down the hole and make them come outside. Oh, yeah, it was crazy. A lot of fun. Amen. If I'd have kept doing it, I wouldn't be a fat boy today. But so be it. And so you have to look at what is happening to us if you don't allow the Holy Spirit. Because God is not that kind of God. That's why I don't understand anybody joining a cult. Cults make you do crazy stuff, require you to do crazy stuff. God ain't like that. The greatest requirement of God is to love one another. It is. Read your Bible. You will find that God is strung out on love. That's what he wants you to do, love. He always talks about love. Love your neighbor. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind. You know, love, love, love. All we need is love. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you're going to discover that that's what you're going to become, a regular love vessel. He said, but you got to meditate on it. And meditates mean what? Take your time. Bible is not speed reading. I've never advocated a read through the Bible in a year course since I pastored this church. I don't believe in that. I think because all you're doing is speed reading. If you fall behind, you try to catch up, which means you're not getting any of the nourishment. It's just like when you chew your food too fast. How many of y'all remember that when you were growing up? Slow down and eat your food. Enjoy it. Take your time. Yeah. What happens when you eat your food too fast? You choke. You get indigestion. You don't feel like you really enjoyed it. You know, you're eating on the run. You know, slow down. Meditate means to read something, stop, and say, Lord, what does that mean? You know, God has no problem with you asking, Lord, how is this going to bless me? God has no problem. You say, Lord, what am I supposed to get out of this? God has no problem. You say, Lord, I don't get this. So stay right there a while. Sit there and said, Holy Spirit, how many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but how many of you have ever got to a place where you're stuck or can't figure it out and really said, Holy Spirit, help me? I said, don't raise your hand. Well, that's good because I wasn't trying to embarrass you. But I'm telling you, that's what leads you. Listen, if you read one verse and meditate on that and pick it apart and say, Lord, you know, that first word changes everything. You know, we all very familiar with 2 Chronicles. If my people, you can work on if all day long. Then your next thing is my. You can work on that all day long because we're the personal possession of God. Excuse me. Personal possession of, you can just work on those. If you walk your way through scriptures, not run through them, not race through them, this is not a sprint. This is a journey. You take your time. If you start today and you pick Genesis or you pick Deuteronomy or you pick Philippians, and if it takes you a lifetime to get through 6 chapters or 5 chapters, so be it. I'll get you through the rest of them. But if that's your meditation, if you can sit there every day with God, you know, and we took Romans 12 some time ago, you know, be renewed by the, if you just work right there and let God talk to you, because God really wants to talk to you. You know, I think some of y'all got called waiting on God. You got calls backed up. He's been waiting to talk to you. It's like that old receptionist in those old movies. The Lord will see you now. That's what you need to say to him. Lord, I'll see you now. Make time for God every day. And not the last part of your day when you're about to go. Catch him early in the morning. Early will I rise. And that's what you have to allow that to happen. Some of y'all, when pastors preaching or teaching, tune me out. You know, I say something you don't like. You're not allowing me to help you anymore. You just... can't do that. You do know you're not your own. You're under the ownership of God. And whenever that book is open, God is speaking. Don't you want to hear from him? Let him talk to you. You let everybody else get your time. How many of you get excited when you look down on your phone and see who's calling? You got contact people. You know, thank you, Jasmine. You don't want me. Okay, Brother Thomas. You know, you look down and go, whoa. And you, excuse me. He said, whoa, in the world is that? Must be her boo. You know, people assume, you know, you get excited. That means you have made a connection. That's how you ought to feel about getting with God. You ought to be excited about, the Lord has said something to me. I got to take this. Don't let people interrupt your meditation time. Put a sign on your door. Close it. Lock it. Go in the bathroom, the closet. Go somewhere where you know they ain't going to come bother you. You go in the bathroom, don't let it come in. If you really want to warm up, take the air freshener and spray every now and then. That's a new thing. And let them and say, oh, yeah, no, I ain't going in there. Just, psst, oh, no, that's real business. You got to allow that to happen. And here's what he says. You're going to have to do it daily through your own reading and your intentional meditation, not sleeping on the word of God. But you got to do that day. Number three, you got to pray I stopped intentionally. You got to pray. Not, dear Lord, thank you for this food we're about to receive. Blessed it would nourish my body and give me strength to do thy will in Jesus' name. Amen. That's just three meals a day. You don't pray over snacks. You probably should. Yeah. Pray that God would arrest your mind and give you a single submissive, spiritual, and secure mind. That's a lot to ask for, but it's worth it. Pray every day that God would arrest your mind. To be arrested means you no longer have freedom of mobility or choice. You know, when I was a trooper, some of you have been arrested. You know, once they put the handcuffs on you or present the warrant, you can't leave. So pray that God would arrest your mind. Why? Because your mind is so busy. Even sitting here now, some of you are all over the place. Because I haven't arrested your mind. The Holy Spirit hasn't arrested your mind. You're thinking about what you got to do later. You're thinking about this. You're thinking about that. And God help us when people start moving around in here. We'll get distracted. We'll get drawn off. And we'll be like, what was he saying? What was the pastor talking about? And we can't leave here and go share that with anybody if we haven't been arrested. You get arrested, you got to make that phone call. Somebody got to come get you, right? Yeah. Unless you can sign yourself out. So that's minimal stuff. But let God pray. Ask God to do that. Lord, please arrest my mind today. Lord, you know I'm so busy. You know, you can talk to God just like you talk to anybody else. God, I know I'm too busy. I have allowed myself to get into too many things. I got up this morning. I'm running behind. You know, Lord, it's the middle of the day and I haven't spent enough time with you. Lord, now listen, if you have a job, let's be realistic here. If you have a job, Holy Ghost just told me to tell you this. If you have a job where you're working, such as Sister Raven, she works in the medical field, she can't allow herself to have lapses. You know, she can't be in the middle of handing somebody a knife or working on a patient and go, I need to meditate. No. you need to do your job. So when you go to work, go to work. Don't let that be the time. You know, I said I was going to meditate at 10 o'clock. You work from 9 to 5 like Dolly Parton and Lily Tomlin, you know, Jane Fonda. The boss is crazy. The boss man's out to get me. I swear sometimes. Okay, y'all don't know the movie. Okay. So you can't say, Jasmine, you ain't never seen 9 to 5. Ooh, honey, look at here. With Doris and, you got to see 9 to 5. Dolly Parton hair is about taller than Empire State Building. And boobs to match. God help us. But you have to, you can't pick 9 to 5. It would be crazy for Raven to say, well, my meditation time is 1 o'clock and she's on the day shift. Pick a time when you can really get with God and allow him to say, Lord, I'm settling down. And don't, you know, soon you can't do it as soon as you get home because you got to cook, you got to get the girls ready, you got to put your husband in a place, you got to do it. But you need a time when just like you set a time to watch your favorite television program, you need a time with God like that. And when you first start out, maybe you're not doing it every day, but at least part of a day. And then let that grow. You'll be amazed at how you want to spend more time. How many of you ever had somebody you really like being with, and when you get to be with them, you don't want them to go? Anybody got that in your life? Y'all got some lonely existences. None, five of y'all, that's it? Nobody else? Six? Okay. Well, you know, you want that with God. I mean, you want to be able to say, God, take over now. Take over now and arrest my mind so that I can have a single mind, a spiritual mind, a secure mind. These are critical. A submissive mind. You want that. The singleness of mind is part of the focus that you really need to grow in the Word of God. How many of you have ever had a very critical study you had to do or something that you had to accomplish, and you gave yourself some isolation to get that done? You know, you got a big test coming up, a final or a big project, and you said, listen, I need y'all to just leave me alone because I've got to get this done. And so you stop, you know, sometimes, you know, now me, I like music when I study. I have that ability. Not everybody can do that. You know, I like jazz. I really like, and I turn it on just low, not loud, you know. So I let it play, but I can do that. And, you know, I don't get caught up in what Boney James is doing, but I know he's doing it. You know, and it kind of helps me stay focused. Now, everybody can't do that. But if you're trying to let the TV play, the kids are doing something, or your relative is doing something, you got your phone sitting there, even though it's on vibrate, as soon as it vibrates, it's going to distract you. I'm going to put it on silent. As soon as it light up. So you need to work on providing yourself the best opportunity to let God have your whole self. So you need a single mind. You really need to say, this is too important. Let me tell you something. I don't know who you are today, but if you have lived your life one day and have not had at least a day where God was the most important thing in your life, you have robbed yourself of your best life. You have robbed yourself. If you are 37 or 42 or 59 or whatever you are, and you cannot look me in my face and say, Pastor, I've had that day, you have robbed yourself of something really wonderful. And let me tell you something. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. It's nobody's fault but your own that you don't feel the love you used to feel for, with, and through Christ Jesus. Because nobody should ever have been able to take that from you. The Everly brothers were right, Jess. If you've lost that loving feeling, that's your fault. Let me tell you something. You know, and I said this. And I'm telling you now, you know, I'm really too nice. I really should be mean sometimes, but I'm too nice. But there is no reason for anybody to ever lose that feeling with God. I don't care what's happening in your church. I don't care what's happening in the choir, the usher ministry. I don't care if you had a distasteful event with the pastor. Don't you ever stop loving God like that. And wanting to be with him above anything. Is something wrong with the church? Sure, there's something wrong with every church. You know why? Because it's full of people. This church is perfect when ain't nobody in here. Soon as one of y'all that breathe, scratch your nose and pick your ears, come in here, perfect level went down. Me too. Even when I'm in here by myself, it's flawed. It's flawed. But I'm not going to give up on God because I got a problem with me. If anything, that's going to make me want to be with him more. You know, sometimes when you're with people, that raise your level of value. You know, sometimes you get around certain people, your stock go up just because you're with good people. You know, people ask me questions all the time about the church and my religion. I said, listen, me being hooked up with God was a good level for me. But you got to have this desire to be singled of mind. And see, what happens to a lot of us is we get so caught up in things that are extensions of life rather than understanding the true center of our life. Let me tell you why. In him, you live, you move. Don't worry about nothing else. Take a deep breath, be like Whitney Houston and them three other friends of hers, and just exhale. Every day you really need to let God take your mind and give him the singleness of your mind. I will look to the hills from which cometh my help, knowing that my help cometh from the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I love God because. I mean, those are things that get you right into. Listen, you got to get in the mood. It's something about moods for us. How many of y'all ever did aromatherapy? Anybody ever did that? That stuff's pretty interesting. Anybody ever had a massage? Ever gone to a massage? Thank you. It's something about that, isn't it? You know, you get in there and, you know, and they tell you to undress to your level of comfort, you know, whatever that means. And if you let them do what they do, man, you mess around and you'll feel like Gumby. Like, I ain't feeling no pain. Can I come back? You know, and they have levels. You can do an hour. You can do 2 hours. You know, trust me, if you really want to do this, let me tell you something. I'm just boom. If you really want to come out of there with something, give me at least 2 hours. And let them put some of that oil in there with some flavor to it. I'll be back. But you've got to give God the singleness of mind. Then the other thing is to submit to him, to be submissive. In other words, come off your high horse for a minute. You don't know everything. You ain't figured it all out. You're not a theological giant. Just be submissive and say, Lord, have your way with me. If you need to set me in a corner and humble me, okay, God. God, I ain't always right. You know, God, I didn't, you know, be submissive. Don't come in there arrogant and, yes, sir. This is number 3. That's why I say I should have just read all the way through them because, you know, when I start walking through them, I get stuck. But you got to be submissive. You come in there stained. You come in there with repentance. Listen, let me tell you, this is another one. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You need to spend more time doing that repentance thing than walking around acting like you ain't done nothing. It ain't nobody's fault. God, I'm sorry. That's how I start every one of my prayers. Every one of them. Except public prayers. When I'm in here with y'all, I ain't none of y'all business, so I don't start that way. But every one of my private prayers, that's how they start. God, I'm sorry. Now, don't look at me like you ain't got nothing to say you sorry for. That's what's wrong with some. That's why some of us can't heal, because we have so much scar tissue, so much unrepentant, so much unconfessed stuff going on. God, I'm sorry. And you know why? You ain't got to share that with your partner. That thing my wife will never know. Thank you, Jesus. She can hire somebody to follow me, and it won't help. She'll never know, but God knows. And let me tell you something. Don't you ever get so big you can't tell people you sorry. Sometimes you need to walk up to people and say, I'm sorry, and have them guessing. What in the world would you do? Listen, trust me. I am so sorry. Matter of fact, you ought to write down 3 names right now. Make it your ministry for the day over with. You don't write them down. I'm serious. There's some people you really need to go to and say, I am sorry. I haven't loved you right. I haven't tried to help you. I haven't been true to you. I haven't really been a good friend to you. I'm sorry. Because I would have required more of myself from you. I'm serious. Some of you didn't tell the pastor you're sorry. Pastor, I'm sorry. I haven't been a good leader. I haven't supported this ministry. You're about to kill yourself, and I'm just sitting here looking at you. You ought to tell your pastor you're sorry. You ought to tell your sister, your husband, your kid. Y'all think I'm playing. I'm trying to minister to you. I'm telling you, this is going to help you. Because you have all of these layers that will hinder you from coming pure before God. You really want to go in there and come out better, not bitter. Can I be honest with you? I have prayed sometime and gotten bitter. Because the more I pray about it, the more I get frustrated about what I'm praying about. praying about people who don't help us financially, praying about people who don't show up, praying about leaders who done quit, praying, and that next thing I know, I'm bitter. And I stand up and say, I should have never started that prayer. Come on, y'all can't be honest like that. I can. Pastoring will make you bitter. When I get emails from people, or I stand up here and look out at people, or I come out here on Sunday mornings, if I'm not careful, I'll get bitter. My intention was to get closer to God. Now all I did was just put another hedge and another fence, another wall. And God is looking at me saying, I can't deal with you like that. So you got to submit and say, listen, God, I need to come off all of this stuff so I can come to you. And then you have to have this sense of securing your mind, because if the devil gets that, you got problems. You know, God will protect your mind, but you got to make sure it's secure. Because how many of you have ever had somebody say something to you and it changed your whole disposition because they got in your head? You got to guard your ears. You know, the old saints say your ear gates and eye, you know, you got to guard that. And Paul told Timothy that. He said, man, don't listen to these old wives' tales and fables, because when that stuff gets in your head, it starts swirling. It's like a tornado. It's just damaging stuff. So God secure my mind so I don't lose my way. And again, you want to make sure that you have asked and allowed God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Don't ask God for nothing you ain't going to allow him to do. Don't ask him to make you something you're not going to allow him to process you to become. Say, God, I ain't ready yet. God, I'd love to do it, but I know I'm not ready. And don't do me no more favors. Don't be doing the pastor no favor that you can't fulfill. I was going to try to help. No, say no, Pastor, I'm not ready. I appreciate you asking me or thinking that much of me, but I've got so much going on. I got so much construction in my life right now, so much unsettled thing, but please keep praying for me. That what you believe in me from God, I'll someday get to do it. Amen. People can pray you through. But you got to do that. And so you have to allow that to happen. And this is the thing that I think we miss sometimes, is that we cannot allow ourselves to just go through it without some control factors. In other words, you don't rumble through the day just saying, you know, any way you bless. I told y'all 3 years ago, that ain't no good prayer. Any way you bless me, I'll be. No, be specific. That's why he says, ask and it shall be given. Don't just say, well, Lord, whatever you do is going to be all right. No, it's not. Because then you're going to complain, well, I ain't want it like that. I was hoping it'd be blue. Well, you should have told God you want a blue one. You know, you want a fellow that's 6'5" and all that kind of stuff. Don't say, well, Lord, just send me a man. Say, Lord, I need a 6'5" with a job, benefits, no kid. You know what I mean? Put your list. That way you hold yourself to a standard. Some old bozo walk in just because he got a suit on don't mean that's the right one. Same thing with gals or jobs. You know, don't say, Lord, just give me a job. Tell God what you want to be. See, God, I desire to serve you. And see, make sure that there's some service and not just selfish. See, and that's why I've had, thank God, some pretty good career things, because I've always said, God, I want to do this for you. If you let me do that, I'll make sure, God, you get the glory. It's wonderful it works like that. And so you have to have this sense of that. And then the fourth thing is, you have to discipline your mind every day, all day. You gotta guard that. You gotta discipline your mind. You can't allow yourself to become like these young men in Dallas and Baton Rouge, or this woman the other day that you know killed her family. You gotta guard. I told you the other day, all of us on the edge if we're not careful. But you gotta discipline your mind. You gotta say to yourself, I can't think like that. When you got that phone call going or that email or that text from somebody and it starts going, you got to say, you know what, I can't allow myself to have this conversation with you, because that's going to mess me up with my discipline. How many of you have ever had a friend get you off your game? Yeah. Or get you, out of a state of mind that you want to be in. You know, you'd said to yourself, well, I'm not going to do this, that, or the other, you know, this week. I'm going to do this, you know. I'm going to really upset some people the first Sunday in August, because I'm going to call for closing on a high note, discipline for the rest of the year. I'm going to call for every Sunday discipline. I'm going to ask and charge and challenge every one of our disciples not to miss another Sunday for this year. Yeah, I see now. Some of y'all already thinking, now, wait a minute, Reverend. That's August, September, October, November. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do it because I think it's fair. I'm going to see if we can discipline ourselves in a simple thing. That's a simple thing. Come into the presence of God. Come into worship. To tithe. To, you know, and let me tell you something. We have people who sit in this room, even right now, that have never tithed in this ministry. Trust me, I'm standing here looking. I can look and remember the names on my list. And we're going to charge people. We're going to tighten up. We have to get to be a better people foundationally. That means basic Christian. Faith-wise, finance-wise, a future hope-wise, and as fighters. Five principles I've been working on. We're going to push them. Foundational. You are, as Paul said, you are no longer children. We should be stronger in our foundation. Nothing should be able to shake us. Even when crazy things happen in our ministry, there should be no walking away. Even for these babies, their mom and dad have a responsibility to keep them close to God. I am so proud of Sean. I really am. This is probably the first time you've ever heard me say this. But this young fellow has stuck by his mom. He has stayed in his ministry. And he is focused. And no foolishness has come into Sean's life that I know of. Now, I'll talk to him after service to verify this. But I see him every Sunday sitting right. And he doesn't think it's unbecoming to sit with his mom every Sunday. He goes where she goes. How old are you now, sir? 2-0? God help me. But I mean, come on. When I come around that corner, I can always see him first because he sits on the end. And I say to myself, man, that's cool. He's still the same old Sean. He hadn't gone to tech and got crazy. You know, I mean, he loves his mom. He loves the God his mom loves. He comes to church. He's 20. You know how many young men, when they get 17, 18, 19, start smelling themselves? Say, yeah, I'm grown now. You know, I ain't got, you know, you don't tell me what to do. But see, that's what the walkers are going to have to do. Guard their young men so they'll turn out like this. Guard their young, the beautiful girls, Mariah, Kennedy, beautiful girls. I pray for them because I know what we're up against. You know, Brother Walker's going through another transition now. That leaves Sister Harmony in a. I've been praying for her. And then I saw her in church two nights this week. And notice she's struggling, you know, on her own and all, you know. But, you know, that said something to me. I think we can put a little trust in her. You know, she came to hear a pastor preach. She can probably say, I'll see him Sunday. I ain't worried about him. But she was worshiping. I watched her. I see stuff. You know, she didn't come just to say, man, I'm going. She worshiped. And Friday, she put a badge on us and said, now, Pastor, come on back in. You're too far. You know, she's policing. You know, that's fine. I got it. You know. But I think that you need to realize that if you don't discipline your mind and you have that foundation, nothing should shake y'all by now. Nothing. I don't care how many evil people are in our ministry. I don't care how many people do stuff. I don't care how many things you get charged or challenged with. I don't care how many times you get tired of me talking about something. You got to say, for God I live. Paul said, for me to die, Christ, that's gain. Then faith-wise, you got to have a faith that will not waver under any circumstance. I'm so proud of Ozelia. When her granddaughter got cancer, Ozelia didn't shake her fist at God. She pulled that girl in. She said, baby, you got a church praying for you. Young lady been coming around, too. You got to have the kind of faith that you don't blame God. Listen, all of us going to catch something somewhere. Something going to happen. But you got to have a faith that says, I'm too far in. Your faith has got to be on your foundation. See, financially, we are way off. But you got to remember that, I think it's, I had a guess probably, I don't want to be wrong, but I'll just use the reference. Jesus, when they're standing there, talking to him, and they're trying to trick Jesus. It's in John and Luke's gospel. But John, they say, let's get a coin. And they go to Jesus and say, to whom is this required? He said, whose picture's on it? He said, you give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but you give to God what belongs to God. And that's what we got to always remember here. And we don't do a very good job of that. We got too much to do around here for people not to be faithful in their tithing, in their finances. And everything you have belongs to, come on, that should have been everybody. Every good and perfect gift. Everything that was made by, okay, who gave it to you? Then give back to him first. And again, see, you know, we get to church, we want to get sophomoric and spiritual, we say, we ain't got to talk about money. Yes, we do. Jesus talked about money. Anybody, you know, and they probably looked at him and went, oh, God, here he go. Well, they probably didn't say, oh, God, here he go. They probably said something else. But excuse me, you have to recognize with me that what we don't attend to is going to fall down around us. How many of you, I've given you this example before, how many of you have driven around the neighborhood and saw raggedy houses? You think they built a house like that? They don't build raggedy houses. What happened to it? They didn't attend to it. How many of you got stuff wrong with your car right now, the check engine light on? You ride around with a yellow light on. You really think that light's supposed to be on? You're not, and you do know something's wrong. And pretending it's not on or getting used to it ain't going to change it. And that's what you're trying to make us do in this church. As leaders, you're trying to make us get used to it. And we can't do that. We have people, listen, sitting in this room right now that do not tithe into this ministry. Don't even make offerings. We have people who come to church Sunday and don't fill out an envelope. That hurts us financially. Then you got to understand that you got to be a fighter. You got to fight for what you believe in. And not all physical, it's spiritual. God bless our ministry. God keep my pastor strong. God help my leaders. God bless our choir. God bless our ushers. God, our ministry needs your help. God, you know, and let me tell you something. I've said this to you before. But if you don't spend some time praying for Greater Brookville Church, you really ought to fix that. And then that God will give us a future. You know, I saw that little history thing up there. I believe in what did that say, 1873 or whatever it was? Somebody prayed that this church would have a future. God bless us, but if there were some of the saints of old that could be interviewed, they would probably look at us and say, man, we're so thankful to God, y'all holding up the bloodstained banner. We can't let them look at the financial report, though, because they'd say, well, they'd probably be impressed because money back then looked different. But, I mean, what I'm saying to you is those five keys are critical. And, again, I'll talk about them later. I got so much I want to teach y'all. God, I pray I don't run out of time. But you have to realize with me, that these are things that come with a disciplined mind. Yeah. I can't imagine another day in my life that God doesn't have the priority. I don't know that. I don't know how to do I won't know how to do that. I have built such a foundation in my life. I cannot imagine a day when I'm not going to be pastoring God's people. Now, I'm going to retire someday, but I'll tell them make me pastor emeritus and let me preach at least a few Sundays out of the year. I'm never going to quit, though. I won't quit. I can't imagine a day that I don't teach. You know, I like this. I really love this. I was at the conference the other week, and they tried to wrangle me in. They got me and said, we need to talk to you because we want you to have a more prominent role in this thing. And I'm saying to myself, ooh, I ain't come for this. I sent my wife a picture of me with my official garb on, and she said, what is that? I sent Sister Price one, and she said, what does that mean? You know, because you don't have to, but I did. I am a member of the organization as a pastor. I didn't bring our church in yet, but if you're going to do things, you have to put your stuff on. And I did, and my wife was like, where are we going? What is that? I don't think she'd ever seen me with that stuff on. Well, yeah. But anyway, foundationally, you have to do that. And then faith-wise, there is no compromise in my faith. It's just me. This is my testimony. There's no compromise in my faith. I mean, I can laugh with you. I can goof off with you. I mean, we can do whatever we want to do. But my faith is in Christ Jesus. I love the Cowboys. I really do. I love them. Ain't nothing wrong with loving the Cowboys. I love them, but my faith ain't in them. I love my wife. I have a certain amount of faith in her. I love my children. You know, I love my trustees, my leaders. I love Larry Walker. I have some faith in him. Not all of my faith. I love Harmony. I think he doesn't mind. You know, I love Jasmine, Raven. I mean, there's a certain amount of faith I have to have in people. But that can be shaken. A lot of y'all have really shook my faith in you. I probably shook yours. I mean, that's human, but not with God. Ooh, I'm good on that one. You know, yeah. And as far as finance goes, I have made up my mind that there's not anything God can't ask me for. And when God asks me for things and tells me to ask you for things, I do it. And I think that we ought to come through for God. I really do. I mean, anybody in this room that ever bought a car, that changed your finances. If you bought a dress, a pair of shoes, it changed your finances. And you did what you had to do. You did what you invoked yourself to do. Same thing applies to me with God. I cannot let anything come between that first. So my tithe belongs to God, and I can't change that. Why? Because it's attached to my faith. It's attached to my foundation. And then the sixth thing is that because you're a fighter, you have to make sure that you're fighting for the righteous thing. You have to make sure you're fighting for the spiritual thing. And so all of those things start being connected. And then because your future is connected to all of those things. If you don't fight today, you have no future. I told y'all last Sunday, when those lions come, fight. Fight. You can't keep running around the block. You can't keep laying down. You can't keep staying in the house. You can't keep mailing it in. You're going to have to fight. And that's how you get a future. You know, each victory helps you some other to win. It's not just about the temptation. It's simply about warfare. How many of you remember when you had that one fight that made you realize, I can fight? You finally had that, you know, you've had little spats, but there's that one fight that you have in your life, and some of you may not have had it yet, but there's, and it doesn't have to be physical. Sometimes it may just be a matter of confrontation or some or challenge or whatever. But when you win that, when you say to yourself, I got what it takes. Yeah. I'm back. From let the next one come. Sometimes after that kind of victory, you start looking for somebody to fight next. You start saying, anybody else want some of this? But that's how you ought to be about your life in Christ Jesus. See, so you discipline your life every day. You have to keep your mind like that so that you don't forfeit. And I got a lesson we're going to talk about that, how we forfeit. We forfeit too many things without a fight, forgetting our foundation, forgetting the fact that our future is in victory, not failure. You can't forfeit. If you forfeit, that counts against you. Do you know there are no uncounted losses? All of it will be brought up in the record. God will look at you and say, you walked away. You didn't show up. You quit fighting for me. You quit standing up for me. You quit believing me. You got mad at me and never came back. Yeah. What does the Bible say? We will give an account for every deed done in this body. God's going to say, why did you quit? You were so... You know, let me tell you something. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Some of you don't realize that the test was to bring you closer and you let it drive you away. That thing that happened was not to run you away and you let it run. Can I give you one? Everything that God allows to happen in your life is to make you trust and love him more. And you mess it up and you stop trusting him and fell out of love with him. And now you're miserable. And can I tell you what? Let me give you a sign of miserable people. They always blame other people. People who have failed within themselves always blame other people. Just check. All you got to do is stop paying attention to it. People who are in a funk, in their relationships or in places, always blame other people. And all God was trying to get you to do was trust him. When David went in that cave and had to pretend to be crazy, God wasn't mad at him. What God was really trying to get David to understand, yeah, Bathsheba was a bad thing, David. Killing Uriah was a bad thing. I need you to trust me. When Nathan stood there and said, you're the one, David took it the wrong way. But after a while, he came around. And that's all God's trying to do. It ain't like God don't know you did it. God knew you did it before you did it. It ain't like God doesn't know you, your foundation's weak, because he's looking at you. He knows how you've been building. He knows how you have been traveling along that journey without counseling with him, without being committed to him, being inconsistent with him, and he keeps letting you live. All he's saying is, listen, you don't take this the wrong way. Elijah, Moses, David, Solomon. Solomon, we are recorded as one of the wisest men. He gets much credit when he asks God for wisdom. And in the latter part of his life, he lost it. Too many concubines, too many parties, too many. And God didn't strike him down and said, I regret trusting you like this. His history is his history. But God says, I know you. Judas, Peter, Thomas. God didn't kill him in infancy. Job said, I wish I had never been born. God says, come here, let me tell you something. I brought you here for a reason. You remember Job said that? Job said, I wish I'd never been born. He said, I hate the day I was born. And we get to chapter 38 and start working our way home. God says, sit down, let me tell you something. You have no right to talk to me like that. Where were you? And that's when Job said, oh, my God. And some of y'all have taken what God is trying to take you through and dropped off instead of getting through. You quit. You got frustrated. And your foundation just wasn't sure enough. Your faith wasn't sure enough. You didn't fight enough. Listen, I would fight for this church with my last. I'm serious. I'm not going to let anybody, I don't care who they are, tear this kingdom down, this branch office of the kingdom. I would fight for it with my last. People say what they want about us, what they want about me, but I'm fighting for kingdom because that's where my future is. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's where my future is in ministry, in God's person. Not in Melvin. You know, I don't know why we let people do that to us. Because they don't have that kind of authority in your life. If my mother and father forsake me, it's the Lord. Who's going to stick with me? When my enemies came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Why? Because God tripped them up. How many of y'all have ever had God trip somebody up for you? Yeah, he'll do it. Yeah, he'll trip them up. That's why you can hold your peace with two hands. Yeah, so you don't drop it. All right. See, I never should start talking. Number five. Now you got to guard your mind. Now, discipline and guarding are not the same thing. Guarding has a lot to do with that ability to keep stuff from getting in. Discipline is what you do with what you know. Because you know you stick to a routine. You say, no. And to guard it means you stop taking some phone calls. To guard it means you stop hanging out with some people. You know, don't be unequally yoked. Paul says in the Philippian letter, and when we go back and walk through them, we're going to go to Philippians 4, and we talked about it a little bit. When he says, fix your thoughts on these kind of things. And we're going to talk a lot about mind things. There's a lot of mind things in the Word of God. But you have to make sure that you're guarding that. You know, when I was in the military, and Brother Thomas would probably remember, and I don't think we got any other military people, but when you get guard duty, you have a certain distance you have to cover that you're responsible for. When they put the guard mount out, there's guy here, guy there, guy. And so you walk from flank to flank, and they walk from flank to flank, and then, you know, that's what you're Your response.